We've been talking about the 70th anniversary of D-Day, as many are today. One reason for the success of the Allied invasion was that the Nazis were not expecting it, or at least not when and where it happened. Nicholas Rankin is author of Churchill's Wizards and other books about intelligence and deception in World War II. How important was the element of surprise on D-Day, Nick?
Absolutely vital, in fact. And Montgomery and Eisenhower and all the generals paid tribute to this. It was years of work that went into this particular deception. And the deception was to make the Germans think that the invasion was going to happen at Calais rather than in Normandy. I'm on the Kent coast now, and it's only 20 miles across to France. You can see France on a clear day. And so the idea was, this is the quickest way to get across to Europe and the quickest way to strike at Germany. So a vast amount of deceptive intelligence was used to persuade the Germans that was where the attack was going to come. And the Americans played a big role in this, because General Patton, who the Nazis feared as the Americans' best general, the most like a German general in that sense, was in charge of what was called the First United States Army Group. And this was a huge army in Kent, near where I am now. They could hear all their radio traffic going on, and this was going to land at Calais. And it didn't exist. It was a fictional army.
Yeah, I mean, that was something I remember reading Cornelius Ryan's The Longest Days. I mean, the deception was large and pretty sophisticated. I mean, whole kind of fake armies, canvas planes and rubber tanks and cardboard soldiers. I mean, really?
There is that on the visual level, yes. There were dummy landing craft, there was fake lighting, landing ships, rubber planes. But the most important part was that every single German spy that they thought they had in the United Kingdom sending back information were all actually captured or controlled or invented by MI5, the security service. And so what you had was this double cross, or the 20 committee, which was sending an immense amount of false information back. One man, the great Garbo, a Spaniard, Juan Pujol, had 23 fake agents, all of which were invented, sending back this information.
Well, precisely. I mean, the Germans actually fell for it, so it worked too.
Yes, and there's evidence of this, because there's radio messages that have gone up and have got the signatures of Keitel and important people, and even that Hitler has seen them. And in fact, to do a proper deception, you can't do it overnight. It has to work for years. You have to have planted ideas of a false division. You have to have people seeing signs. It's called the notional order of battle. They don't exist, these units, but you have to make the enemy intelligence officers think they do exist. It's like playing poker or something. You don't let people see your cards, but if you do let them see something, you're trying to deceive them. If you're weak, you pretend to be strong. If you're strong, you pretend to be weak. You are always, this is the nature of deception. You are bluffing in some way.
It strikes me that this scale of deception, I mean, it's got to involve a ton of human resources. You've got the real invading forces, right? And then you have basically more troops that need to build up the fake army.
Well, this is true, and you had a whole lot of people, for example, who were radio operators who had to do fake radio traffic. And you have to take it seriously. You can't muck about with this. So even the king was involved. Everybody was involved in this. We take theater seriously in England. This is something we are very good at.
I mean, it's the land of Shakespeare, isn't it?
It is the land of Shakespeare. Our national writer is a theater writer. And in a funny way, this part of the theater of war, they could do it very well. I mean, we do ceremony and spectacle, and it worked.
Could this happen today with Instagram and email and journalist embeds? Don't we live in totally porous times that just can't really support this kind of deception anymore, or can it?
I think you've made a very good point, because what you're talking about there is the technology. The reason this deception worked was that essentially there was two kinds of technology. Mark one eyeball, i.e. what you could see from an aeroplane. And the second thing was that you were really working on radio. There was no television. There were no mobile phones and things like that. So it was all about controlling the radio and listening to people's radio. If you had a landline, it could be secret. But anything sent through the air could be tapped and listened to. But if you look at the means now, the enormous amount of means of communicating by email and Instagram and Twitter and Skype, as you know, it's almost impossible. I think now, I think that probably the way that you do deceive, and this is probably not what you're meant to think, is through the mass media. Essentially, I think you can distract if you can get stories onto television or the newspapers or excite people that way. That is a way you can distract people.
Nick Rankin, author of Churchill's Wizards, thanks very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.